You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. My co-host Adora Udoji is not here today, but she'll be back soon. We want you to be able to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. I didn't have time there at the end of the newscast to explain fully what we're up to today. What does music say about your personality? What's on your playlist, and how does it reflect your personality? Send your playlist and your personality traits to 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. We're also talking about bailouts. It was a great weekend for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The feds have decided to bail them out. What is the limit of federal bailouts? What should the federal government bail out, or what should it stay away from? We want to hear from you.
We have determined that it is necessary to take action. Our economy and our markets will not recover until the bulk of this housing correction is behind us. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are critical to turning the corner on housing.
That's Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson speaking as the Bush administration seized control of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac yesterday, officially. President Bush says the government's takeover of the nation's two biggest mortgage finance companies was necessary to keep them from failing. It's all about keep maintaining the health of the American and global economy. Stock markets in Asia have risen sharply in response to the takeover this morning. Stephen Labaton is covering this story for our partner, The New York Times, and he joins us from Washington. Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, John.
You know, a lot of hard questions here need to be asked because this is some sophisticated economics, but let's just begin with the basics. If you're looking for a loan today, are you happy?
I think you are happy in the sense that it will be easier and rates may actually slightly come down. Although as a taxpayer, you may not be happy, but as a mortgage holder, you'll be happier.
And as a taxpayer, you're on the hook, at least theoretically, for billions of dollars in Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac losses or the entire upwards of $5 trillion mortgage portfolio of both companies together. Which is it?
It's certainly not $5 trillion because the houses and other assets that back these securities have a value. We won't know for quite some time, possibly many months, exactly how much in the end this could cost. But it could wind up being many billions of dollars.
Let's talk about stockholders. These were ostensibly public companies. Their stock was traded publicly. What happens to the stock at this point? And is there a difference between regular old stockholders and the U.S. government this morning?
If you are a stockholder, your stock will continue to trade. There's two kinds of stock. There's common and preferred. It will be trading significantly lower, I would imagine, this morning because the government has an option, a long option, like a 20-year option, to purchase the stock at less than $1 a share, which it could exercise at any time if the value goes up. If you're not in the same position as the new stock that's been given to the government, it has a preferred position. It also will have dividends, which for the average, for the investor in the public markets, the dividends will be suspended.
All right. All of that, the question of preferred stock versus common stock, is a bit of the paperwork required to actually execute this takeover. But I noticed that in Asia, the markets are sharply up. It seems there's some message in this takeover that's very, very positive to investors in Asia. And let's not forget, they own a lot of this stock.
That's correct. I think there's this is going to be seen internationally as very positive, and in a sense more important for the financial system than the stockholders, as important as they are, is that this is going to protect the billions, trillions of dollars in debt that these companies have issued and are held by other banks and central banks around the world and large institutions, pension funds, mutual funds, and many institutional investors. That's going to be protected by this, and so that the value of those securities will rise.
But the price of protecting all of those things, it seems to me, and maybe I'm totally wrong here, so you know, don't hesitate to yank my chain, Stephen. It seems as though the U.S. you know, funds its debt or funds its operations with treasury bills, right? That's the basic debt obligation of the federal government, correct?
Yes.
But now we've added these mortgage debt portfolios of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to a certain extent, or at least some obligation exists there. Is it possible that all of a sudden Treasury bills are going to be priced on the basis of the stability of subprime and prime mortgages in the housing market from this point on?
I don't think anybody expects that to happen right now. I think the government felt, and I think with some justification, that it had reached the point where it had had no choice, and that a failure of one or both of these institutions down the road would be so cataclysmic to the financial system that there were, at this point, no other options than to go into conservatorship, and that Secretary Paulson believed that short of going into conservatorship, it may end up costing taxpayers actually more.
All right, one last question, and I'll make it a yes or no for you. If you're someone in China who's considering investing in U.S. Treasury bills or mortgage-backed securities, are you more likely or less likely to buy a Treasury bill today?
I think you're a Treasury bill versus a Fannie and Freddie security.
Right.
I think you'll get a slightly greater yield on a Treasury. On a security issued by Freddie and Fannie than you will by Treasury. But the hope is that the spread will decline because the smaller the difference from the Treasury security to the agency security, the theory is that that's passed on to the mortgage holder. So it will be cheaper to get a mortgage.
But it's a little bit more of a head-scratcher this morning. Stephen Labaton, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stephen Labaton is a reporter for The New York Times. He joined us from Washington, D.C. And now we move on to the weather story to the south of us. Cuban.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.